Chesterfields in Huntington, Mama Funk and the Mudcats, at Barbecue and Patchogue, Blue Roots, and lastly for Friday, I'm sure it isn't last, this is just all that we happen to have listed, is Our Times Coffee House in Garden City, Patricia Shee. For the most up-to-date listings, check our website at WUSB.FM and click on Concert Billboard. To get your gigs listed, send an email to scene@WUSB.FM and thank you for listening.
And it says WUSB Stonybrook. I'm sorry, I don't know how we played the wrong date before, but it's all fixed now. Today is Tuesday, June the 10th. It's 6 o'clock time once again for Off the Wall. It's amazing. Everything is actually working here. It's like 100 degrees outside today. And I expected a sauna when I got here. I won't say I'm not disappointed, but... Wow. You know, one thing that I'm happy about is that I still got it. I just managed to prove myself yet again here at Stony Brook that I still have what it takes. And what I mean by that is that some numbskull locked up the building early. It's supposed to close at 6 because it's the summer. Usually it stays open later. But somebody closed it early for some reason, locked all the doors. I still have the ability to break into buildings on campus. And I'm very proud of that because that's what I spent most of my undergraduate years doing. Not to steal things. Nothing so pedestrian as that. Simply to explore, to wander around, to go to those places you're not supposed to go to. Except the irony is I'm supposed to be here, and I had to break in order to do that. Now, yeah, I could have gone around to the legal eggs, but by the time I got there, it would have been too late. Well, not too late, but you wouldn't have been hearing me now. You'd be hearing something else. Regardless, where there's a will, there's a way. And that's what a university should teach you. And that's what I learned here. Yes, we're having a little mini heat wave here in the New York area. The temperatures are skyrocketing up into the triple digits practically. And, you know, it's not right because it's not even summer yet, and I don't know why that's happening. But hopefully it indicates that it won't be happening nearly as much in the summertime. Maybe we'll get some kind of autumn weather then. That would suit me just fine. But I'm hearing all kinds of reports about people, schools closing because students are passing out, and I guess maybe somebody felt it was too hot in this building. This building isn't hot. This building is pleasantly cool, so I'm not sure why someone would choose to abandon it. But I'm hearing all kinds of reports about people getting heat stroke and sunstroke and basically wondering why they're suffocating if they stay in cars with the windows closed and things like that. Every year we learn something more, and I guess this is no exception. The heat wave, though, will end tonight. Some violent thunderstorms are coming, and I'm always happy to see those. And then it's going to get all cool again, which is also what I prefer to see this time of year and all times of year. You know, it's interesting because I find myself having to turn on air conditioning in various places that I go into. Still don't have it in my car, which is, I think, a good thing. But I remember growing up, I don't want to go into one of these reflective shows again where I talk about the old days, but... Let me know if this is in fact true for you. When you were growing up, assuming you didn't just grow up a couple of weeks ago. I'm talking 20, 30 years ago. Didn't seem like everybody had air conditioning. Sure didn't seem that way to me. In fact, I don't know anybody who had air conditioning. I think maybe I knew one person in my block who had an air conditioner in one room. And that was a big deal. Now, I know it got hot back then. I'm pretty sure it did. So what's changed? Have we changed? Can we not handle heat at all? Can we not be satisfied with the mere fan blowing the air around? You know, you don't notice these changes when they happen gradually. You notice them if they happen overnight, but I think as people, we might just be getting less and less tolerant of anything outside our narrow little definition of what is comfortable. If you go to other countries, yeah, you don't see air conditioning everywhere you go. You don't. Ride the subway, even in London. In London, they do not have air conditioning on their subways. Gets rather warm. But you know what? The stations aren't as warm, because apparently when you have air conditioning on trains, it makes the stations all the hotter. And that's one thing about the New York City subway system. The stations in weather like this is simply unbearable. The trains, yeah, not so bad, but wow. God help you if you have to stand and wait for a train. So I think we're just continuing to move into this zone where we just pamper ourselves constantly and then get all bent out of shape when things start to not work out anymore, like they're doing now. With gas soaring over $4 a gallon, soon to be $5. Yeah, for my diesel car, my smart car, it's something like $5.50 a gallon now, which it doesn't bother me because it gets good mileage and it doesn't hold very much, and I don't drive a whole lot. But it sure bothers a lot of people that have these massive vehicles that get less than 10 miles to the gallon. I was wondering the other day, what does a Hummer get? A Hummer must get like something like 10 miles to the gallon, right? What do one of those stretch Hummers get? You've seen these things on the street, right? They're probably the most wasteful things ever created by man. And they're like 10 cars long, but they're Hummers. It must get something like 1 mile to the gallon. If anybody has one of those or can find out, I'd sure like to know just how inefficient those things are. It's simply unbelievable. We're going to get more and more uncomfortable as things start to, spiral out of control is not really that much of an exaggeration. What happened last Friday, and this kind of bothers me, actually, because the stock market fell 400 points, all right, in one day. It was 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock is when the stock market closes. I was watching television, and it was minus 415 or something like that. No. Okay, it's 4 o'clock. You know, you should stop there. You should stop there. They didn't stop. Somebody, someplace, was adjusting the numbers. All right, and they fixed it. So they made it go 390 or something like that. So it wasn't 400 points. I wanted those 400 points. I had money riding on losing 400 points in the stock market that day. And I feel like I was robbed. Because it was 400 plus at 4 o'clock. They should not keep playing with the numbers. I realize I'm probably the only person in the universe who's upset that the stock market didn't lose 400 points, but I don't know. I kind of like the chaos and mayhem and the violent thunderstorms. And the more the merrier. You know, if you're smart, if you think ahead, if you don't put yourself into massive debt, and you don't wind up wasting fuel and energy, you're going to be okay. You're going to survive. And you know what? You'll probably survive even if you are stupid because, well, this country was sort of founded for stupidity to have a chance. And, well, maybe that's not fair to say it was founded for that, but it certainly has developed into that, hasn't it? Yeah. So, all these people that are getting all bent out of shape about paying for gas and paying for food and all that, yeah, you know what? It's a pain. Welcome to the world. That's what the whole planet is experiencing. So maybe, we won't have as many choices of Big Macs and huge things that we waste our time and money on. Maybe we'll actually get healthier. Is that possible? I'd like to think so. I mean, look around you. Look at what obsession, what overindulgence has done to us. A little deprivation might not be such a bad thing. Okay, you know, I'm just trying to get mail. Just trying to get more mail because it's all about outraging the populace. otw@2600.com is our email address. And we'll be taking phone calls. I want to take lots of phone calls today because we haven't done that recently. And I know there are a lot of people out there, I know, because I hear from them afterwards saying, Emmanuel, why didn't you take phone calls? Well, okay, stop complaining because today we're going to take phone calls. In fact, let's start extra early. Let's start at 9:30. It's now 9:13, all right? And let's hope the stream is up this week. Our last couple of weeks, it's been all messed up. So hopefully it's not. Hopefully you can actually hear me out there in non-631 land as well. Not that there's anything wrong with 631 people. That's the area code, of course. Our phone number is 631-632-9872. And, of course, within 631, you don't need to dial 631. In fact, you can't dial 631 because it won't work, I don't think. Unless you're using a cell phone, in which case you have to. 631-632-9872. 9872 spells WUSB. We'll be taking phone calls in just about, 15 minutes or so. How's that? Yeah. So, okay, it's over. It's over, sort of. The Clinton campaign, we predicted it. Took her a little longer than I thought, but she eventually got around to it. And, yeah, now it's so weird. I mean, how do you justify saying all these nasty things for months and months and then expecting everybody to simply toe the line and support your opponent? Because if you go to HillaryClinton.com, you'll see the message to support Barack Obama. So how can you believe anything that she said if right away she's just going to forget all that and throw her support behind him? I mean, I know that's what you're supposed to do. I know that's how you create unity and things like that. But, you know, it just seemed like the way the campaign was waged, there was no room to fall back on that. You know, it really seemed like she was calling into question Barack Obama's qualifications, the security that the country would have if he were in power. And if you really believe in those things, to simply put them aside and say, yeah, okay, he's good. He's the best there is. It's just not very convincing. That's the danger of launching these all-out attacks. And, you know, I'm watching some of the reaction from Clinton's supporters. And a lot of them are saying that if she's not on the ticket, that they either won't vote or they're going to vote for McCain. They will vote for McCain instead of Obama. You see, that to me says something. That says that there certainly is not unity. That says that these attacks really did mean something. And you know what it also says? It says good riddance to bad rubbish for these people, because if they actually, in their wildest LSD fantasy, would consider voting for John McCain as a so-called Democrat, then the Democratic Party does not need them. They are the problem. They are the people that have been dragging that party down for the last couple of decades. So, yeah, jump ship and go someplace else. Vote for McCain. Just don't say you're a Democrat and do it. I mean, God, people who would even say something like that, to even consider somebody who is almost identical to George W. Bush in so many ways. He's even started misspeaking, too. You hear the thing yesterday where he said he was going to veto all beers? He meant to say bills, but he said beers. I don't know what's up with that. I guess it was on his mind. But, yeah, I mean, let's be honest here. Either you support the people who oppose the current regime, or you don't. And if you even consider for a moment that you're going to support that, then you can't really say you're in the so-called opposition party. And, of course, that's maybe why the party isn't that much of an opposition to start with, because people do things like this. So, yeah, don't even try to win those people over. That's my advice. Just tell them to have a nice trip over to right-wing land and move on and be unashamedly liberal and to the left or whatever it is you need to be to make some change, some real change. I sure hope that happens. I'm hearing rumors that Obama is going to be selecting a vice president pretty soon. In fact, the story today is that he has a list of about 20 people under consideration. Senator Kent Conrad, who's a Democrat of North Dakota, has said that he's not on the list. Don't worry about that. He said that some of the people on the list are top officials now, and others are former lawmakers, and others are former top military leaders. That's the rumor I'm hearing, is that it's going to be a military leader. Yeah. He said many of the names already have been bandied about in the media, but others were outside the box, and of course he declined to give any examples. Now, can you imagine if you found out your name was on the list? What would you do? You know, if you got a call from the Obama campaign saying, hey, you know, average citizen, we need you to be vice president. I mean, that is outside the box, isn't it? It might be some kind of strategy. But what would you do? Would you just put down everything and say, okay, yeah, why not? I'm not busy for the next 4 to 8 years. So, no, we have no names. I predict, I know my predictions haven't always worked out. I still think John Edwards should have gone for it. I don't know what he's thinking. He'd be perfect for the job. If you're listening this week, John, reconsider, because what else have you got going for you? You know? You'd be a good vice. I know it didn't work out the first time with Kerry. I know it didn't work out, but the second time is a charm. And I think you'd be a shoo-in. You'd get a lot of those votes from those backwoods states, and I say that with all due respect. But I think it's probably going to be Wesley Clark. Yeah, I think that's who he's going to... He's white as snow, okay, so there's no problem with racial issues. He's got this strong military background. He's articulate. I think he might do something to gain a lot of the Clinton supporters as well, since that obviously is a priority. So that's where we stand. I think maybe by next week we should know something. Let's hope so. Let's hope so. And I don't know who McCain's going to pick. That's another question. I assume he knows he has to pick somebody. Well, we'll find out soon enough. Now, of course, Hillary Clinton still has some problems. This is the weird thing. She's put in $11.4 million of her own money into the campaign. And she had about $9.5 million in unpaid bills at the end of April. That's according to her most recent filing with the Federal Election Commission. Can you imagine, what would happen to me if I had $9.5 million in unpaid bills at the end of April? I don't think I'd be here now. They'd make debtor's prison just for me. Yeah, I don't think that's something that we have the luxury to do. And how do you do that in the first place? I mean, you must have many millions of dollars if you can afford to sink $11.4 million of your own money into a campaign. Obviously, I don't know the whole story here, because it can't be just that you're throwing money away and that you're never going to get it back. Now, Mitt Romney spent more than $44 million in an unsuccessful run for the Republican nomination this year. His money was technically classified by his campaign as a loan, but it was clear from the beginning that he was simply self-financing a large part of his campaign. Now, what makes Mrs. Clinton's situation unusual is the combination of unpaid bills and her own personal loan. Records show that other unsuccessful candidates owed less than half to their vendors than what she owes to businesses. According to John Baran, a campaign finance lawyer, it's unprecedented. Former Mayor Rudolph Giuliani of New York, he ended his campaign for the Republican nomination also owing numerous vendors, but his total debt was $3.6 million, including $500,000 he lent the race. Who are the vendors? What are we talking, like hot dogs or something? What are you vending exactly that you have to pay all that money for? And don't forget former Senator John Glenn of Ohio. He ended his 1984 Democratic presidential bid with nearly $3 million in debt. Small potatoes. He struggled for more than 20 years to pay it off until the Federal Election Commission issued him a reprieve. So they can do that. They can issue a reprieve. Just like that. Now, Hillary Clinton has raised about $1 million since the polls closed in Montana and South Dakota last Tuesday, so she's still raising money to pay off the debt. I mean, this is perfect. She's qualified to be president if she's able to raise money to pay off the debt after she's been eliminated. Isn't that sort of what the president has to do? He's got to raise all this money to pay off the debt that Bush has left us in? And it's a huge debt, too. So if you can do that, you must have some kind of qualification. But now the thought is that that Obama's going to help her raise money, or that's what he should be doing, raising money to pay off her debt. What I don't get is why there has to be such massive amounts of money spent on an election campaign in the first place. What are the expenses exactly? Okay, all your people that are answering phones and making phone calls and threatening people to vote for your candidate, they're all doing that out of the goodness of their hearts. They volunteer. They're not being paid anything. I think they even pay for their own pizza. All right, so that's not the expense. Majority of the expense, and I think we all know what this is, it's advertising. It's getting those TV spots. Aha. So, the public airwaves. Yeah, they are the public airwaves. They do belong to the public. We may have forgotten that. We may have been told that's no longer true, but it is true. all these TV stations you see on TV and the radio stations you hear on the radio, those are all using your airwaves, and they're licensed by the Federal Communications Commission to serve you. Yeah, of course, there's lots of commercials on most of them and lots of stupid programming. But what if, as part of the condition of serving the public, they were required to provide free of charge advertising time for election campaigns? Imagine that. Well, you'd have to have certain limits, I guess, because otherwise you'd have a 24-hour John McCain infomercial on some channels. But imagine also all the people this would open the doors to. All the people who can't afford to sink $11 million into a campaign. All the people who can't spend all this time thinking of ways to raise money. You'd have people actually thinking of ways to win people over with logic, to talk about policy changes, to talk about things that need to be done. Instead, it's always about raising money so that you can pay the TV station so that your ad can get on and maybe influence somebody. Yeah, imagine if none of that had to be paid. Think of all the time wasted that we'd get back. And yeah, there'd be a lot of political advertising on TV. But, you know, I think we should be paying attention. And you can limit how much you actually have. You can have it a certain amount per hour. Yeah, the TV stations will cry bloody murder because they won't make as much money in paid commercials. They are not entitled to that by default. The airwaves are public. It's given to them. And if they can make a buck at it, great. But they have to fulfill certain guidelines. This should be one of them. I mean, I think that makes perfect sense. And you could also have, for those political junkies that can never get enough, you can also have another station set up that has nothing but political advertisements. That way, if you really want to catch up and find something, you can just turn on that channel and, I don't know if you like C-SPAN 12 or something, and get all the political commercials that you can possibly handle. I mean, imagine being able to see third-party candidates being given equal time. And that's what scares people, I think. Scares the people in control. Because imagine that. What would you do? What would you do if you had the same amount of airtime? You'd have to win. You'd have to win based on what it is you're saying, not how much money you have. So, you know, to me, this seems like a very simple thing to implement. You just change the rules, or actually go back to the way the rules used to be, where broadcast stations had to serve the public. This is one way to certainly serve the public. Then you take all that money you're not spending and you do something nice with it. I don't know. That's up to somebody else. It's an idea. I'd like to hear why it wouldn't work. Okay, speaking of debt and bad things like that, and yes, we will take phone calls pretty soon. 631-632-9872 is our phone number. Maybe in about 5 minutes or so. Going to read some letters and a couple other stories. All right. If we see the phones lighting up, we'll go to the phones all that much sooner. For millions of Americans who can't stop thinking about their rising debt, dreaming it away is not an option. A lot of debt can make it harder for people to sleep. They just get so emotional, said Corey Bax, a director and ex-counselor at the Debt Counseling Corporation in Hopog. That's right here. This story comes from Newsday, actually. These people also get sick, according to the results of a new Associated Press AOL health poll. AOL health poll. Okay. Respondents revealed that stress created from rising debt brought on neck pain and headaches, ulcers, severe depression, and even heart attacks. It's not surprising. I see people get stressed out over all sorts of things. And lots of times you just have to sort of sit back and say, you know what? There's no more I can do. There's no more I can do. I just have to try and relax and make the best of a situation. And keep in mind also that the nation that you're in is in more debt than you could possibly be in, percentage-wise. So you're simply following your nation's lead by putting yourself into debt. But if you have the opportunity not to, it's so much better to avoid debt, to not owe all kinds of credit card companies and shady people money. Yeah, you know, a house loan is one thing. Most everybody has to get one of those. But everything else, you really... It's liberating not to have to worry about those calls. All right. They might feel severe anxiety or find they're having panic attacks or bouts of depression. And once the business has deteriorated, debt increases, and from that comes great stress. Now, a poll was taken of 1,002 adults in all states except Alaska and Hawaii. I don't know why they excluded them, but basically 27% had ulcers or digestive tract problems, compared with 8% of those with low levels of debt stress. 23% had severe depression, compared with 4% with low debt stress. I think that's a definite correlation. 6% reported heart attacks, double the rate for those with low debt stress. Of course, the ones who died, I don't know how they reported their heart attacks. Get counseling, get help, get something. Just don't suffer in silence. Don't let your health deteriorate. And speaking of taking care of ourselves, I think we all heard about the horrible story out of Hartford, Connecticut. This is people sent us mail about this as well. Police have released chilling surveillance of a hit-and-run accident in the hope of catching the unidentified driver who ran down a 78-year-old pedestrian, paralyzing him. Actually, it was two cars. One car seemed to be chasing the other. The gripping images showed the violent May 30th accident in Hartford, Connecticut. Now, nobody rushes to Angel Torres's aid. No one bothers to stop traffic as he lays motionless in the street. It's the most disgusting thing ever. In the images, he walks in a two-way street at 5:45 p.m. after buying milk at a local grocery store. He's struck by a dark Honda that was chasing a tan Toyota. And they're both going the wrong way down the street as well. Several cars pass Torres as a few people stare from the footpath. Some approach him, but most stay put until a police cruiser responded to an unrelated call. Police suggested the video shows a city that has lost its moral compass. The police chief said that at the end of the day, we've got to look at ourselves and understand that our moral values have now changed. We have no regard for each other. Now, of course, there is some countering to that. People say that, yeah, you know, 4 phone calls to 911 were placed. Great. Okay, that's wonderful. 4 people called 911 to report this, but it doesn't erase the evidence that's right in front of us. Well, you see a guy get mowed down by cars, and nobody comes to his aid. Nobody. Now, people say that they weren't comfortable approaching this guy who was hurt and bleeding, or not comfortable. Not comfortable approaching somebody who's just been hit by a car. I mean, come on, you have a terrific conversation starter right there, so it's not going to be those awkward silences. But for God's sake, at the very least, you can make sure that no other cars hit him. You can run out into the street, watching your own back, of course, and make sure that cars either stop or are diverted. If you're driving a car yourself, stop and make sure no other cars go in that direction. These are things that you won't get sued for doing, if that's what the concern is. But regardless of the kind of defense that I'm hearing about this, that people actually were calling in, it's not enough. You have to do more. You have to do more if you see somebody that needs... And this is something that, you know, it's common sense in a lot of places. I want to read an editorial, actually, that comes from a newspaper in Mississippi. It's entitled, No Heart in Hartford. The Deep South often gets criticized by other so-called enlightened regions of the country. We talk differently, we tend to move more slowly than other people, and we tend to be less educated. Sometimes the South deserves the criticism, especially on seismic history-making events like integration. It was not the region's finest moment. But whatever anyone's predetermined opinion of Southerners, it is impossible to believe that what happened recently in Hartford, Connecticut, could ever happen down here. In Hartford, a traffic surveillance camera captured video of a 78-year-old pedestrian hit by a vehicle and then left alone, apparently until medical assistance arrived. Now, to be fair, at least 4 people alerted 911 of the man's plight within a minute of the collision. But nobody stopped to tend to him. That would be unthinkable down south. And might I also break in here to say it would be unthinkable in New York City. Yeah. I think on Long Island, too. I'd like to think that. Other pedestrians in the camera's view looked at the man but did nothing. A vehicle stopped briefly but then pulled back into traffic, and a man on a scooter circled the victim before moving on. At least 9 vehicles passed the scene without stopping before a police car, which had been responding to an unrelated call, arrived about 90 seconds later. One witness, interviewed by the Hartford newspaper, said the man was bleeding unconscious, but he didn't feel comfortable helping him. That's a puzzling thought. Unless the bleeding was extensive, the least someone could have done was try and make the victim comfortable or tell him help was on the way. CPR is not a requirement of good citizenship. The video of the accident has prompted a good bit of soul-searching in Hartford, where the police chief said it appeared the town has lost its moral compass. That's a bit too broad of an indictment, especially since a number of people did telephone for help. But it's safe to say that when a similar accident happens in a southern town, people are far less inclined to leave an elderly person lying on the ground alone. We're just not that insensitive or that ignorant. And that was Jack Ryan, publisher of the Macomb Enterprise Journal from Mississippi there. And, yeah, you know, I gotta agree. I gotta agree that I don't think I would see that in many places, certainly in many small towns, that level of insensitivity. And ask yourself, the people that you know, people who you consider your friends and your relatives, yourself even, can you imagine them acting like this? Can you imagine them seeing something happen and then not getting involved, not trying to help out? I mean, I'm thinking of the people that I consider my closest friends, and I'm happy to say that without hesitation, they would jump into it and make sure that the situation didn't get any worse. And I think that to me is one of the qualifications to be friends with somebody, that they have compassion, that they care, that they'll do something. They're not all just talk, and they'll actually take that that extra step, which really isn't an extra step. I think it's a basic step. Whew, yeah, so that was an eye-opening experience seeing that, and thanks to all the people who sent in links. I didn't need to see it anymore. It's pretty disgusting, but I did see it. All right, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go into delay just to show people that I'm serious, and then what we're going to do is open up the phone lines and hopefully take phone calls. So let's hope that I don't mess this up too badly. You should hear an ID, followed by my voice. We'll see.
Hi, this is Randy Newman. You're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook. Support me and the station, and your country.
Well, here's my voice, and that should have followed the ID, which means we're now 7 seconds in the past, or is it in the future? I'm not really sure myself how it works. But the point is, we did successfully make it to delay, which means I've done my part. Now it's time for you to do your part. 631-632-9872 with your opinions on anything we've talked about today or anything you'd like to talk about for the remainder of the hour. Let's read a couple of bits of mail here at otw@2600.com. Dear Emmanuel, it's Robert Popper, a.k.a. Robin Cooper here. Yeah, we read from your book last week. He's the guy who wrote the Time Waster letters. I just wanted to say I got in late, turned into your show, just at the point where you were reading my letters. So pleased that you like them, and thanks for reading this stuff out on your show. By the way, you and your listeners might enjoy my time waster phone calls on my silly site, www.robincooper.co.uk/audio.php. Thanks again. I so love your show. I'm spreading the word here in the UK. Signed, Robert, a.k.a. Robin. Oh, Robert, a.k.a. Robin, thank you very much for your kind letter, and hopefully we'll see more of our listeners. Okay, we got a call? All right. Let them ring, and I'll pick them up. Thank you. We have a phone call on the line that's actually on hold. 631-632-9872. Let's take this phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Speak up, please.
Anyway.
Yes, go ahead. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Patchogue. This is Rich.
Rich from Patchogue. That's a local town here in Long Island. How you doing?
With you 100%.
On what do you agree with me?
About, you know, if...
Actually, you got to turn the radio down because it's going to confuse me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I'm walking my backyard.
I'm easily confused, though.
You know, if I thought I had a friend that wouldn't respond to something like that, it wouldn't be my friend anymore.
Thank you. Yes, I feel exactly the same way. Thing is, do you think you know this about people before such a situation happens? Can you tell if somebody would do that?
I don't know. I hope so.
Yeah.
I just hope so. I mean, that's insane. It's insanity. How could something like this happen in this day and age?
Well, you know, it's happened before. I remember there was some case in the 60s where some woman was stabbed repeatedly and nobody responded. It was a very famous case. I think we're encouraged to be a little bit callous and insensitive, especially when we see so much violence in society and portrayed in fiction. But we have to get beyond that. We have to think of ourselves as human beings and our fellow humans as valuable entities that deserve to be helped whenever possible.
Of course. I agree with you 100%.
All right. Well, listen, thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
All right. Take care. Call from Patchogue there. Our number is 631-632-9872, and phone lines are empty, so please give us a call. Okay, there they are. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hello?
Yes, what's on your mind?
Hi, I'm calling. Are you talking about the incident in Connecticut with the accident where
yes.
the man was left on the on the road?
Yes, I am. And where are you calling from, I ask?
I'm calling from Quorum.
Okay, and yes, tell us what's on your mind.
Well, I heard someone say earlier on a call that, you know, how could this happen this day and age? And I kind of feel like it's actually more likely to happen this day and age where people are more concerned with getting sued or how things are more likely to affect them than others. I kind of feel like everything's become more selfish.
Yeah, well, that certainly does contribute to it. People are afraid of how somebody, you know, a choking victim, for instance, in a restaurant, if you try to help them, they might sue you for something, for touching them in the wrong way or something like that. It's insanity, and that is related to it for sure. But even if you are concerned with that kind of a thing, there are still ways that you can help, such as blocking the traffic or just making sure the person is comfortable or anything like that. What I saw in that video were people just going about their business or maybe looking a little bit curious, and that's pretty disgusting.
I know, and it's horrible that, you know, that is now the YouTube clip of the week, and people can watch that and laugh at it when it's such a serious matter.
I don't think anybody's really laughing at it.
I've had people send it to me and say, look how funny this is.
Oh, my God. What's funny about this? I mean, that's insane.
I know, exactly. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I heard you mention a woman that was stabbed in the 60s. I actually was reading a story about that because someone had mentioned it in relation to the issue. And it's, you know, it's sad that it's just so something that everybody seems to be so amazed that someone can do, and yet it still happens. So there has to be people out there that just don't care. And it's a really sad, but a fact. And it's just, it's so sad.
Yeah. We need to send a message to people like this that if you're really that cold and callous, you know, you're in desperate need of some kind of help, and you know, not somebody that we want to really hang around with. I mean, you see people, if people are joking about things like this, it's just like with racism. If people say something racist to you, you have to react. You can't just let it go. And if people start joking about someone who's obviously in distress or being tortured or something like that, that's just wrong. And you know, you saw that with the pictures from the military of torture victims from Iraq. People laughing about things like that, people making light of it, you can't tolerate it. You have to stand up to it no matter where it's coming from.
Exactly. And I hope that everybody out there listening takes that to heart, because you see so many issues like this put in a little bit of a light situation where people can, like, joke or just brush it off their shoulders, but it's something that really does need to be taken seriously. And I've just started listening myself. This is my first time listening, and it's such a good subject to focus on, and I'm glad that you brought it up.
Well, thanks. Thanks for your call.
All right, thank you.
Take care. And we have a bunch more phone calls. Let's go to this one. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to comment about the incident in Connecticut.
Okay, where are you calling from?
I'm from Stony Brook.
Okay, Stony Brook. All the calls are local today. I wonder if the internet is not working again.
Oh.
I guess we'll find out. So tell us what's on your mind.
Yeah, I do remember the incident with the lady that happened in the late 60s. That was, I think, Kitty Genovese.
Kitty Genovese, yes, that's the name. Yeah, she was stabbed repeatedly. People heard her screams. And I think in that case, nobody called the cops.
Yeah, they were, like, paralyzed to do anything. But, you know, just when you see something like this and you think there are no heroes, I recall yesterday we had two guys save two babies in a sinking car in Oakdale.
Oh, really?
There are still heroes out there.
Oh, of course there are. And, you know, the thing is, what I'm saying is, there are those actions that go above and beyond just what's expected of you. Like people run into burning houses to save people. That's going above what I'd expect most people to do. But a simple thing, a very simple thing like making sure somebody doesn't get hit by another car when you have the power to do that, that's basic, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, I saw the footage of this one time. That was enough. I hope they have caught the guy or can catch the guy. But, you know, years ago, like, if my father saw a car broke down on the side of the road, we'd stop and help them.
Mm-hmm.
Now we don't do that anymore because situation is different with society, but seeing a human in pain, you can't turn away from that. You have to help that person.
Right. But it's an interesting point you raise about somebody broken on the side of the road. We don't do that anymore because our society has changed. How do you see our society as having changed?
Well, you know, you could be very much at risk because it could be now someone staging something in hopes of luring you in to stop, and then, you know, you'd be attacked and that type of thing.
Uh-huh.
But years ago, we didn't worry about that. We saw a fellow, you know, human being broken down on the side of the road, and we wouldn't want to be that person, so we would help them out. And I'm sure there's people who still help out, but a lot of people would say, no, don't stop. Let the cops get it. Let the next guy get it.
Yeah, I know. I understand what you're saying. Sometimes I'm the person who's broken down on the side of the road, and I really am happy when somebody stops and tries to help, although I'm a little afraid of them, too. But I'm just wondering what's happened to our society where we always are living in suspicion of each other. I wonder what brought that change on.
Well, you know, the media reports, you know, a lot of badness. So young mm-hmm. people don't grow up with the idea that it's good to do good deeds. You know, mm-hmm. the way we were brought up, perhaps, depending on the age group you are. And it's good karma. You help someone out, and someone will help out, you know, yourself or a member of your family. So it comes around, goes around.
Absolutely. I know a lot of young people get that, maybe more so than the older generation. But it just has to be emphasized, reinforced constantly, and, you know, in all possible forums.
You know, this is just unbelievable, though. I will say that, you know, not being an emergency tech or someone trained, the little training I've done says before you jump in and help somebody, just observe the situation to make sure you're not the next victim.
Yeah, exactly. I've heard many cases of people who are, they pull over to help somebody change a flat and they get hit by a car going by. Yeah, you have to be very careful as to what you do. So sometimes you can also help the other person not become a victim, an additional victim, by just acting a little bit more safely.
Was there any follow-up to the gentleman who was hit, his condition?
From what I mean, he's 78 years old to start with, so obviously that's not he's not in the best of shape getting hit by a car like that. They say he's paralyzed. I'm not sure if he's going to pull through. The thing that really bothers me is they don't seem to have found the people that were driving down the wrong way on the street and kept going. You know, how hard could it possibly be to track down two cars like that? I don't know. There must be all kinds. I know there's surveillance cameras and all kinds of ways of finding things when you really want to find something.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If they ask for help, perhaps, from a higher authority in the government, they might be able to lend them that.
Yeah, and there's certainly they have friends. Certainly they have people that know what happened. The car would have dents on it. There's all kinds of evidence. So, yeah, you know, those people need to be found, absolutely. Listen, thanks for your call.
I enjoy the show. Thank you very much.
All right, take care. Let's take another call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on this whole people looking at an accident thing.
Okay, where are you calling from?
East Iowa.
East Iowa. Okay, so the internet is working.
Yes, it most certainly is.
You say East Iowa. Is there a difference between East Iowa and West Iowa?
No, I'm just being nonspecific.
Okay, I thought it might be a rivalry or something going on. Okay, well, not to your point.
Yeah, you know, this whole thing about people not helping because they're worried about a lawsuit really sounds like in the middle of... You know, in the middle of a situation like that, who seriously stops and goes, am I going to get sued here? I mean, maybe I'm just cynical.
You'd be surprised how many people actually do things like that. It's like part of their thought process. You know, how is this going to play out for me? We spend so much time thinking of ourselves and how something is either going to profit us or hurt us and whether it's, you know, a good risk or not. And sometimes you just have to put all that aside and realize that, you know, we're only on this earth for a set period of time, and we have to take care of each other or we're all going to fall apart. I mean, it's very simple.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. And maybe I'm just not, maybe I'm just that far from my generation or whatever. But on something else you mentioned a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
well, not that long, but you had an ongoing grudge with a newspaper there for having a comment section on all their stories. And
yeah,
all, you see that
Newsday, and I hear that's a problem with other newspapers as well.
Oh yeah, I just saw it here, and I thought of I thought about hearing on it on the show so many times, and one of our local papers has started doing it, and I didn't think it could be that bad until you know a topic about gay rights or immigrants came
mm-hmm.
up.
Yes.
Oh,
Yes.
It's pretty amazing.
It's awful. And the thing that happens with Newsday especially, I haven't checked them recently just because I got so disgusted by the whole thing, but basically any story, you could talk about a new traffic light being installed at an intersection, and somebody's going to say, well, the only reason we need the traffic light is because all the Mexicans keep driving through and not stopping. You know, someone's going to turn into a racial or immigration or anti-gay rights or some kind of thing, a point that they always are trying to make themselves. And they're just going to basically get everybody to start talking about what they want to talk about and get all the attention. And if you give somebody that kind of a forum, that kind of a pedestal to stand on, of course they're going to take it. I think the responsible way for something like a newspaper to act is to, you know, exercise some discretion. Otherwise, every conversation is just going to devolve to the lowest possible denominator.
Yeah, we're starting to get it here, and it's pretty embarrassing, I gotta say.
Well, I hope you speak up and say something to the powers that be. I mean, I got a call from the editor of Newsday, but he didn't really get it as far as understanding that this goes beyond just freedom of speech, where everybody gets the same amount of airtime. It doesn't work that way. You have to have some kind of manner of responsibility. Otherwise, it's just it turns into the Usenet. You know, that's where used to be a good source of information on the internet for all kinds of things, and now it's just nonstop spam and porn and racism, and nobody wants to go there anymore.
Yeah, Usenet is useless now.
Exactly.
But, I'm basically going to send the guys there, send them a letter and say, look, I think this is making you look like idiots for letting these people just blather on your site.
Mm-hmm.
Consider taking it down.
And at the very least, don't put your masthead above it. You know, link to some third-party site that has no connection at all with your newspaper instead of making it seem as if it's part of your newspaper. That might be a step, at least.
Well, yeah, because it's the whole thing. It makes them look like they're endorsing this kind of foolishness.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. Hey, thanks for your call.
Yeah. All right. See you.
Take care. Eastern Iowa. Yes, I've been to Iowa. Nice place. Most places around are nice places with nice people. It's true. Let's see, a couple of letters from people talking about running mates for Obama. You know, not nearly as many as I thought we'd get, but here are a couple. Gore Vidal. Wouldn't that be a great campaign? Thank you, Andrew, for that idea. I'm sure Gore Vidal is terrified of that. RC says, how about Al Gore? Now, that would be off the wall. No doubt. No doubt at all. Let's see what else we have here. Dear Off the Wall, today, this is another issue we were talking about. I did not stand for the national anthem, and guess what happened? Nothing. The teacher was standing right beside me, but said nothing to me. One student beside me said I was being disrespectful, but he later commended me on it. I respect that, man. This was in a public school in Canada, if that makes any difference. Well, it does. It's a different country. We're talking about the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States, but the sentiment is the same. I was surprised that I was met with no opposition. Maybe I just got lucky this time, but I will sit down tomorrow as well. Many people will be quick to say that Canada does not get as excited about patriotism as our southern neighbors, but I don't see the difference. Right now in my country, Prime Minister Harper and his government have started a campaign to reignite patriotism and drill up support for the military. Those magnetic ribbons that are all over people's SUVs are all over up here, too, but we take it way beyond that. My local newspaper has implemented the yellow Support Our Troops ribbon into their masthead. Our city hall has a big yellow ribbon around it. Coming up soon, there's a free concert where you are supposed to wear red clothing to show your support for the troops and for Canada. Interesting. I'm watching Euro 2008, the soccer tournament from Europe, and they have good coverage in Canada, so I'm using my Canadian satellite dish to watch this. And every now and then there's a commercial for the armed forces, and it's really pretty strident. They're saying, come, join us and fight. It's like, oh, my God, this isn't the Canada I'm used to. But, yeah, you're absolutely right about this. These days where you show up with red clothing to show your support for troops, they're called Red Fridays, possibly named after the bloodshed. It's the biggest mob mentality I've ever seen. I'm told that this merchandise and all these events are to raise money for military families, but I think that it would be much better if instead of buying all this plastic crap from China, we gave that money to the families. Why do you need to get something when you give? This propaganda has crossed over into sports, too. Don Cherry on Hockey Night in Canada is always pushing for people to support the troops, and he's always showing pictures and video of soldiers. I understand that in the USA, the Pledge of Allegiance is recited at the beginning of the week, but I would like to know if the national anthem is also played at school. Actually, I didn't know it was done at the beginning of the week. I thought it was done every day in some places, but I don't know about the national anthem. Good question. Up here, the anthem is played every day, and you are expected to stop what you're doing, remove your hat, and stand at attention. I support the troops as much as anyone else, but I do not support the invasion we were tricked into. What concerns me the most is that people think if you don't buy into this propaganda, you are somehow less of a Canadian. I feel good about myself for standing up for freedom by sitting down, and I think that the people who have defended our country would be proud that I exercised my freedom. Perhaps listeners that have some of these magnetic ribbons on their SUVs could call in and explain the purpose of it. I believe that they feel more patriotic and that they are better than other citizens for doing it. Anyway, I'd like to know the reason, so please call in and inform me. Thanks for the great show. Signed, Handler. And thanks, Handler, for writing in. Also, he adds, regarding your attempt a few weeks ago to organize a national sit-down, people not standing for the Pledge of Allegiance, I don't think you gave it enough time to get the word out about it. That's true. I gave it less than a week. And it's possible that they don't even do it on Tuesdays. I don't know. I need more information. This week, I will be trying to convince other people to sit down with me, and I hope that some listeners feel inspired to do the same. It's the last week of school here, too, so there's no better time to do it. All right, well, hopefully we'll see people get involved one way or another, standing up for their rights. It's an important thing. I'm going to go out of delay. I'll be right back. I'm back. Okay. Basically, we have one more letter to read, and our email address, otw@2600.com. Dear Emmanuel, on the subject of coincidences, the last week of May, I was talking about the incredible coincidence I had last week where I found out a friend of mine lived next door to a friend of mine from way back in my childhood and had lived next door to him for 5 years. And we found this out the day I was helping my friend move out. And it came after I was already talking about my old neighborhood, and just very, very strange and weird. Don't think it can top that, but this person attempted to. On the subject of coincidences, the last week of May was Fleet Week here in New York. When getting on the subway any time that week, one would invariably see servicemen and women, subway maps in hand, enjoying their temporary liberation. The day after Memorial Day, I stopped by the Delacorte Theater in Central Park to pick up tickets for that evening's performance of Hamlet. I couldn't attend the play myself that night, but I was going to offer the tickets to a friend. While walking back downtown through the park, I saw up ahead two sailors, a man and a woman, sitting on a bench. I immediately recognized them as two people I had stood next to for several stops on a downtown R train that Sunday. I'm not sure why I remembered them so distinctly. We hadn't spoken, but I couldn't believe it. I mean, what are the odds, right? Well, of course, I had to stop and tell them. They turned out to be really nice. Their names were Tristan and Randy, stationed in North Carolina. We had a nice chat, and as they were telling me of their visit to New York, I remember the tickets I had just picked up. As it turned out, they were thinking of seeing Wicked that night, but it didn't take much convincing to get them to take the Shakespeare in the Park ticket so they could see an actual play. I wish them nothing but the best as they return to duty. We are lucky there are still decent people like them who are willing to volunteer their services to this country, knowing how bad that decision might turn out to be. Signed, Lewis from Rego Park. And thanks, Lewis, for the letter and for your act of kindness there. And yeah, you know, seeing people again in the city of the size of New York, that definitely is a coincidence. That definitely is something. I have seen the same people twice, though, on the same day in different parts of New York. I have done that. So it's not that big a coincidence. It's a coincidence. It's easier to do in other cities, but it's, I still think mine beats it. I still think that's probably the biggest coincidence of my entire life. I don't know. But again, I want to thank everybody for writing in and for sharing their thoughts and feelings and opinions and things like that. And please continue to do so. Continue to help each other out, spread information wherever possible. And I guess that's going to do it for us here tonight. Thanks, everybody, for all the calls. We did get quite a few tonight. We have more information on The Last Hope, which is our conference, Hackers on Planet Earth, taking place July 18, 19, and 20 in New York City. And all kinds of things are happening. There's a real buzz. There's a real air of excitement about this thing. And yes, there's a bit of sadness, too. I'm not quite sure I know why, but people seem to have this sentimental, almost melancholy feeling about them. It's a happy time, folks. It's a happy time getting together, seeing your friends in Manhattan, talking about computer issues and hacking and things like that. Go to www.hope.net for more information about that, about hopes of the past, about ways you can help. This is Emmanuel for Off the Wall. Have a good night.
At the end of the end, it's the start of a journey to a much better place. And this wasn't bad, so a much better place. would have to be special. No need to be sad. On the day that I die, I'd like jokes to be told and stories of old to be rolled out like carpets the children have played on and laid on while listening to stories of old. At the end of the end, it's the start of the journey to a much better place. And a much better place would have to be special. No reason to cry. At the end of the year.